Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, children, and sing the goodness of the Lord. Come on, children, and shout. All about God's rich reward. God will put you verity. Keeps us in the narrow way. Come on, children, and sing the goodness of the Lord. Yeah, come on, children, and sing.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We welcome you tonight. Tonight is December the 4th, 2017. We pray all is well with you and your family, and we thank God for you. Amen. Again, we have a couple of announcements, some upcoming events for the new year coming around. We have a couple of events, opportunities for ministering and fellowship, and also just to encourage those in this holiday season to continue to do the work of the gospel, to reach the homeless, to reach the less fortunate. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to open up with scripture. I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter number 1, and I'm going to start at verse number 3. The Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and unto an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishes tested by fire, that may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor Christ is revealed." Father, we say thank you today. Thank you for your Son, God. Thank you, God, for giving His, for sending Him, O God, that we might be redeemed by the shedding of His blood, O God. That, God, by His stripes we are healed, O God. Father, today, O God, I want to lift up husbands, fathers, and sons today, every man, every brother, and every Father God, I pray encouragement over their lives. I pray strength over their lives. I pray that they would stand and be the men of God that you've called them to be, that you're destined to be, to fulfill their roles and purpose in their families, in their communities, and in the church. Father, I thank you today for this opportunity to speak to the people, oh God. Thank you for the broadcast. Thank you for those who are listening, or even online or have called in, oh God. Father, touch their lives today. Let something be said today will encourage someone to continue to press forward and continue to do the things that do. Those things that you were created for. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 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 Well, we have one announcement of our upcoming event. We have a marriage retreat coming up in 2018, April of 2018. The Jesus Lives Fellowship and Ministries is hosting a marriage retreat. The theme is going to be Keys for a Successful Marriage. Amen. It's going to be on April the 27th, 28th, and 29th of 2018. The cost is going to be $325 per couple, includes the lodging and meals and all the material. We have a $100 deposit due by January the 22nd, 2018. If you need more information, you can go to the Issues Christian Men's Talk website, or you can also call Sister Sharp at 443-784-8826. Or you can reach us, inbox us on Issues Christian Men's Talk, and we can get you the information, and you and your spouse can come join us for a retreat. And we're going out to Chantilly, Virginia, at the Staybridge Suites there, and have a good time, a fellowship meal, and fellowship and teaching, and just a time to get away and spend time to encourage and grow in our marriage relationships. So we encourage you to join us for that. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to spend a few minutes with you and talk to you. And like I said in our past shows, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because we talk about Jesus as Lord. When we talk about Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we understand that he's our Savior, that he died, blood to be shed for the remission of sins, that he was our mediator, that he paid the price for the sins of all mankind, but yet we could not pay. But he paid it because he lived a perfect life. And that right there is the basic gospel message. But there's another part, his lordship. Are we obedient? Are we doing what we're called to do? When we say that we are Christians, is there a responsibility or a requirement to obey him? Because if he is truly Lord in our life, what is he doing in our life? Do our lives look different? But can people tell, for those around us who knew us before salvation, or even if those who did not know us when we were unsaved, but now that we are saved, are we different than the culture? Do we stand out? Are we his sheep? Are we salt and light? And the only way we can do that is by obedience to the word. And if he is our Lord, his word is the blueprint, the chalk line, the schematic. That's who we are. That's why we shape and mold our character, shape and mold our decisions, how we see the world, and how we live our lives, and how we treat our family, and our relationships, those in our circle, those unsaved and saved, how we treat each other in the church, is all dictated by the word of God. And what are we professing, and what are we portraying? What is the image? You know, in Scripture, there was a time when Jesus said, "Who do men say that he is?" He asked Peter that. "Who do men say that I am?" But today the question is, who do people say that you are? If you profess Christ, and is he your Lord and Savior? Is his lordship, you have a life that's obedient to him, we accept him as Lord, we are subjective and committed to Christ, that our life, that we, it's more than just, it's just repentance, it's a changing of direction, it's a way of thinking, it's a renewed heart and a renewed mind. You know, sometimes in the church and sometimes even in the gospel, for some saints, we come up with what they call, you know, as I was doing some research, there's a lot of terms that are coined. They call it easy believism and terms like that where, you know, it's you're saved and just because you're saved, there's nothing else after that. That lordship is an option. It's not a requirement. It's not a choice. But for my scholars out there, for my theologians, and for those who read and study, there's a couple of things that I just wanted to touch on tonight. Like I said, in the coming weeks, we're going to go a little bit deeper, but tonight, I just want to start on the surface. And for some of those, get you thinking, get you, you know, get the juices flowing and stir up in your spirit for the understanding. Because this is what we have to do even when we go out and evangelize the lost. Are we able to know what we believe and why we believe it? If I said the act of justification, can we define that just to an unbeliever? If we talk about the process of sanctification, what does that mean? What does that mean to the baby Christian as we are mentoring and discipling folks? Because God, Jesus did, one of Jesus' commandments was to go into all the nations and make disciples. Not just converts, but disciples. And I think that's part of the lordship, of him being Lord. Are we obedient to his direction, to what we call to do as individuals and as a church and as a body of Christ? So tonight I want to touch on a couple of things. I want to touch on a couple of definitions so that we can set the foundation, set the platform for further discussions. As I say, this is going to be something we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. I've invited some men of God, some pastors and teachers, and men of wisdom to share their insights and understanding to help further build the foundation, you know, so that the questions can be answered. I encourage you. If to call in, and if you called in at 646-668-2636, you press 1 on your keypad, you can ask a question. If you have a comment, you want to share insight or wisdom. And also, you can also, if you want to go back and listen to this and listen to the show at, you know, at different times, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And tonight, we're talking about the Lordship of Christ. So I'm going to lay a foundation here. For this show and also for upcoming shows. First of all, let's define terms. We say acts of justification, act of justification. Are we justified by God, by faith? Justification is the judicial declaration by God that the believer has a righteous standing before him. That means before God justifies us. That's nothing we do, but that justified comes by our believing and our confession of faith to Christ and who he was. Do we believe who Christ said he was, what Scripture says he was. And God justifies us by the change by our heart and what we believe and what we speak out of our mouth. The next one we're going to talk about is sanctification. Now, sanctification for a lot of people seems like depends where you were brought up in your tradition, or some folk may have never heard it before, but that's the process. And sometimes sanctification is a process that's lifelong. No matter what our titles or purpose or calling is, sanctification is a lifelong work of the Holy Spirit, which conforms the believer into the image of Christ, because that's our ultimate goal, to stand before Him in the image of God, to look like Him in character, in thought, in deed, and also to be the salt and light on the earth. So those are the two foundational principles and things that we want to share as we begin to talk through this lordship, the lordship of Jesus Christ, and what that means, and what it looks like. Because I think that's the struggle we have for a lot of brothers and a lot of men and believers, is what does lordship look like? You know, I'm saved and I'm sanctified, I'm secure that I'm going to heaven, but then lordship, that obedience, are we living lives that are obedient to Him? Do we have the fruit? Is there fruit in our lives? Or are we just looking for people to, you know, I know I'm getting a little bit out of controversy here, but we give people the sin of prayer and then require nothing of them. Or we go out and evangelize, we reach people with Christ, we share the gospel with them. You know, the sin of prayer, that's a whole other discussion. But even if someone gives a sin of prayer, then what's the next step? Do we just let them go on their way? And is that fulfilling what God calls us to do, to make disciples? Or is there a requirement to continue on to do something else in each of our lives, even where we are as Christians? Are we growing? Because it has to start with us. It has to start with us first personally, the person that we are, as the man of God that we are. Are we growing in Christ? Are we different from the day that we confess Christ to this day? Even if that day was 15 years ago, 15 minutes ago, a month ago, 6 months ago, are we growing? Are we living a life that's pleasing to God? Are we in that sanctification process? Or are we just still doing the same thing? And then when we witness the folk and spread the gospel, are we helping to disciple them? Are we doing the things to be able to, then we have to understand, to help them to grow? Because disciples beget disciples. So what are we doing? What are our structures? Even in our churches, we may give on a Sunday morning, but then is there a follow-up? Is there a process for follow-up? Again, to making disciples, or do we just let people think they're saved and go about their lives and just live the same way? And I think that's the issue. Is there a requirement? Because if we look at Scripture, different parts of Scripture, we know that Jesus, you know, he had a crowd, and he would say some things that would move the crowd, and the crowd would start to thin out. Because remember, at one time he had 5,000, he had 3,000, but yet there was only 120 in the upper room. And because because they had to choose, and for us in this 21st century, is Jesus being Lord is an option? Is it just something that we can choose not to make Him Lord, but we're still saved and we're good, living the life we're doing, and we have no fruit? Are we truly delivered from sin? Are we living by the dictates and commandments of the Word of God? Are we seeing a transformation in our lives? Is our character changing? Are we being more like Christ? Are we speaking more like Christ? Or are we just saved, what I want to call religious salvation? We're religious, we dress up inside, we still think and do and act the same way we did before. And are we growing? Is there fruit? Is God using us? Do we see ourselves having spiritual gifts? Do we have the wisdom of God? Do we understand Scripture? Can we teach Scripture? Are we living the Word? Is He really our shepherd? Are we really His sheep? Are we doing those things? Or are we living contrary to what the Word of God says? Amen. Amen. So I just take a moment to sink in there. If you called in and at 646-668-2636, and you have some insights or wisdom or want to share your understanding of the Lordship of Christ, just press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you into the conversation. Amen. I see we have a couple people on the line, and I appreciate you calling in tonight. And if you'd like to share your insights or wisdom about our topic tonight, you're welcome to. Just press 1 on your keypad. Amen. When we talk about the Lordship, we understand that God's grace was through the forgiveness of sin. That was the primary objective. It delivered us from sin. So, and once we're delivered, and do we perceive his love and compassion is merciful, and we understand what that is. But now, what are we doing? Does that dictate what we do as a Christian in our Christian life? Are we progressing? Are we, is our character, how are we becoming more like him? Can we see it in ourselves? Well, I believe, I also believe in one thing, that we have to look at ourselves first before we can go any farther. Do we see ourselves as different? Do we see ourselves as the saints? Do we, is God, our, is he truly our Lord? Are we obedient to what he's teaching us? Are we living a life that we honor and glorify him? You know, one of the things that, you know, I'm going to talk about lordship and talk about obedience is if we look at our life in the simplest terms, are we living lives that are glorifying the body? Excuse me, edifying the body and glorifying God? I think that's one of the things that we can look at. What are we doing? How are we living on the inside? How do we see other folk? How do we see the unbeliever? Do we see them as those, as souls that need to be saved? Do we see our brothers and sisters Christ as co-laborers, as people that we want to encourage and come alongside? Or are we in competition? Or are we in a place where we don't care about other folk? We happy, we saved, we good. Maybe our family saved, we got our kids and our families in the church, but we're not willing to open ourselves up and to help and to reach and to minister others. And we're not willing to do evangelism. We're not willing to serve in the church. Are we just going to be, consumers? Are we consumers of Christianity, or are we partakers? Are we co-laborers? And that's the thing we have to look at when we talk about the Lordship of Christ, because this all comes down to our obedience to Scripture and obedience with what Jesus has called us to do. I want to read something real quick. I read a book that I was doing some research and reading about, and when it talks about the Lordship a little bit, it says, let me start here. It takes many forms. Now, one of the most greatest errors that has crept into the church is that which allows for a confession of Christ as Savior, while submission to his governing authority as Lord is optional. It is a teaching that allows for one to enter the kingdom of God by rejecting the rule and reign of the king. In other words, one can become a shepherd, a sheep in the flock of God, while refusing to allow the shepherd, to follow the shepherd. And I think that's a good example. How can we say we are sheep of God in the flock of God, but yet we don't follow a shepherd? We don't have a shepherd. It's Christ. And Christ, the man Christ, the risen Christ, is our shepherd. So we say we're part of the flock, but we refuse to follow the shepherd. And I think that's one of the simplest illustrations of what it means how we deliver and share the gospel. That you just can be, you can claim him as Savior, you're not going to hell, you're feeling like you're good, you're okay, and you never end up in hell, you're not going to end up at the wrath of God. But then, are you truly God's? And you don't want to follow the teaching. You don't want to follow your shepherd. And also it says, it is a cross that can be embraced without the passion and desire of the flesh being crucified. In Galatians 5:24, it talks about our flesh being crucified. In Romans, it talks about we hate sin. We hate living in sin. We hate the sin nature. We see sin, and sin and the sins are the things that are disobedient to God. We're living a life that are contrary. Living in, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about living in the course of this world. So we call ourselves Christians, but we're still living just like the world, like the unbeliever, like the pagan. It teaches impugned righteousness while considering imparted life, active, productive, righteous is something optional. And thus lordship, discipleship, sanctification, although encouraged, but is not mandatory. And I think that goes back to the church. Again, what are we doing as members, as the body of Christ? Because we are the church. But are we discipling folk? Are we discipling corporately as churches, as leaders? Are we discipling? I know churches that it's funny. I just talked to a pastor the other day, and they're going back to Sunday school. They're implementing some new believers, new convert classes. and starting to disciple people, because it takes more than just the 2-3 hours on once a week. And then you get to see who those are, because there's always going to be a remnant in the body of Christ. But especially with babes in Christ, we have to be able to give them access, let them have the access, the opportunity, you know, and also with the Bible study. You know, for those of saints, some of us mature saints who haven't been to Bible study in our own churches in a while, we go, you know, once a month or something, or we're always busy, or we have all these other things. But how we tend to grow as a body under our pastors if we're not attending Bible study, then that's part of discipleship. Because again, when we talked about that sanctification process, it's lifelong. No one's got it. No one just got it, and they're good, and they can go the rest of their life. Even Paul himself said he is not all perfect and got it all together yet. So Paul couldn't get it. I know we can, because the challenges and what we've had, because God used him mightily. Amen? So, you know, so that's one of the things that we just wanted to share and touch on and continue to press upon the people to think, to stir the brothers up. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and I'm just sharing some information and some insights on the Lordship of Christ that we can continue to seek in where we are. Because we can't launch off of, we have to have a solid foundation to then when we launch and go into the conversation. So I just wanted to spend some time today and start to plant some seed to get the brothers out there thinking about what it means to be, to have Jesus as Lord. Savior, we're secure. Okay, you're not going to pay the price. He's paid the price for you. But yet now, are you being obedient to the call? Are you being the flock of God? Are you really part of the flock of God? Is your character? Are you doing those things that God has called you to do and live out? Amen? So we're going to continue this again. I said we're going to touch on it here for the next couple of weeks. I have some folk invited down the road. I just want to continue to lay the foundation. We're going to be here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday at 8:30, and in the month of December, well, around the holidays, we're going to switch and shift and to start doing Saturday morning, and we're going to do a little bit of teaching here, still discussion. We're still always going to have an opportunity and a platform to discuss the issues that affect our men's lives, but also we want to start to be able to sow some seed of the discipleship of wisdom to get men who is in the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to know your Word of God. Because to be a Christian, you have to know what you believe and why you believe it. And I think one of the key things that we're going to, again, we want to address here is understand what it means for Jesus to be Lord. That is right there in front of us. It's not that it's hard, but it does take work, because the Scripture tells us to study to show ourselves approved before God. And we want to ultimately hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, with that, I'm just going to thank you for joining us tonight. Thank those who called in and listened online. Thank you for those who called in at 646-668-2636 and spent a few minutes with us tonight. And like I said, we're going to continue this conversation. Also, again, I just wanted to remind the listening audience, we have an upcoming marriage retreat in April of 2018. April 27th, 28th, and 29th, at Jesus Lives Families Ministries, Keys to Successful Marriage. They'll be going to Chantilly, Virginia. You can reach out to the church by calling 443-784-8826. Price is going to be $325 per couple. It covers the lodging and meals and all the study materials. And they're asking for a deposit of $100. By January the 22nd, 2018. Again, you can go to Facebook, Issues Christian Men's Talk page. You'll see the information there posted. The link inbox is there if you have opportunity to write it down. And we encourage you to come out and fellowship. Again, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. God bless you, and we'll be back here Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Amen.